Good morning. It's Pastor Jeff Oliver from the Pleasant View Church of Christ, and I welcome you to our Palm Sunday sermon. This morning, we're taking a break from our sermon series through the book of Genesis and the life of Abram to take a look at the four gospel accounts of the triumphal entry on this day traditionally known as Palm Sunday. Things are a bit different as we can only meet online as we are doing today, or you can see a recording of the sermon on our webpage or also on Facebook later today. If you have Facebook, you can like us at Pleasant View Church of Christ. And there you'll find a daily devotion from me, your preacher, and other info about the church. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to be celebrating Easter or Resurrection Day. We'll still not be able to meet together as a group in person, but next Sunday's service will be recorded for you too. We're also trying something new. You can meet with us live at 11 a.m. on Zoom if you have a computer or smartphone. Go ahead and preload Zoom onto those devices, and we'll send you an email of how to connect with us next Sunday morning. Right now, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, for the reading of the Word. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with the colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he'll send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's bow for a word of prayer today. Father God, on this day we ask for your blessing. Again, as we read your word, give us understanding, give us insight, give us direction, and how we can take this old story and even apply it to our situations today, to our lives personally. Father, blessings to you. Blessing to us through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to give you a bit of insight about where this story takes place. It's a site that you graciously allowed me to visit last May when you sent me to Israel. In verse 1, it's also the same wording that's in the book of Mark as well as the book of Luke. Verse 1 says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives." Now, Bethphage was a tiny area directly east of Jerusalem, across a steep ravine of the Kidron Valley on the outskirts of Jerusalem, on a hill called the Mount of Olives. Just a Sabbath day's walk. A Sabbath day's walk is about one half of a mile away from Jerusalem. Jesus would often spend time on the Mount of Olives. Matter of fact, Luke tells us in chapter 21, verse 37 and 38, it says, "Each day Jesus was teaching in the temple, and each evening he went out and spent the night on a hill called the Mount of Olives. All the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple." I have some pictures, if you downloaded the sermon notes, of the Temple Mount looking down from the Mount of Olives, as well as the Mount of Olives looking up from the Holy City. I hope you've downloaded those and can fill in the blanks as we do the sermon today. Today, the Mount of Olives is covered with burial plots, not olive groves. thousands upon thousands upon thousands of graves totally cover the hillside. From the top of the Mount of Olives, you can look straight down into the holy city and see the Temple Mount that was created by Herod the Great before the birth of Jesus. In Jesus' day, he would have been able to see the temple in all of its splendor. Today, you can only look down and see the top of the Temple Mount and the Islamic mosque that's called the Dome of the Rock. Jesus would have made the walk of just over a half mile every time he went to and went from the city. But on this day, it would be different. This day, he was not going to enter as the rabbi, the son of the carpenter. No, on this day, he would enter as the Messiah, the King, the Savior. Verse 2 and 3 says, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." Now, who were the two disciples that were chosen for the task? The Bible doesn't say, and it really doesn't matter. It's not about them anyway, it's about Jesus, but we can learn a lesson from them. A lesson about faith and obedience and courage. Imagine if Jesus asked you to go get something such as that for him. Imagine if he told you to go into town and on the second block that you would go pick up this red Camaro. Just get it and bring it back to me. That would take some faith, some courage, and some obedience. What if the owner came out and caught you getting to his car? What if he is one of those that chose to shoot first and ask questions later? These disciples were entering into what could have been dangerous territory, but I believe that these were followers of Jesus, whom had this donkey and would have no problem when they heard who it was needed by. Jesus knew their hearts and their thoughts, and so he eases their minds in verse 3, and he tells the disciples, "If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he'll send them right away." Right in the middle of the sentence, four words pop out: "The Lord needs them." Those few words calm down the hearts of the disciples and prevent the problem from the owner. Mark 11 lets us know that maybe there was a neighborhood watch program that was going on, and the good neighbors were keeping an eye on one another's property as well. Mark 11, verse 5 and 6 says, "Some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go." Now, that phrase, "the Lord needs it," understand, it empowered those being sent to get the colt, but also enabled those watching to let go of the colt. What does the Lord need of you? What do you need to let go of? And can you, with faith and courage and obedience, just do it? Let's drop back to Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. It says, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, 'See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" This prophecy is from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It was written well over 500 years earlier, about 518 B.C. Most kings would come riding into a city as if they were great warriors. They would come with great pomp and circumstance and a parade that was a sight to behold, including hundreds of soldiers and iron chariots and horses. But this wasn't the case. Jesus would come riding on the foal of a donkey. Why the colt or foal of a donkey? Why not a big, beautiful horse befitting the king? Well, verse 4 gives us the answer. Because of prophecy. Zechariah predicted, foretold, how the Messiah would finally come into Jerusalem. Now, traditionally, a person who was named to be king of the Jews would ride on a donkey to their inauguration. They hadn't been elevated to that point yet of king, So they came in humbly. Jesus would do the same. Jesus fulfilled prophecy after prophecy, proving that he was and is the real deal. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, the blessed Son of God. Verse 6 and 7 says, "The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them." The disciples obeyed the Lord's command, just as we must be obedient in everything that he tells us to do. They went and they brought back the animals to Jesus, covered them with their cloaks, and off Jesus went. Verse 8 says, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road." A very large crowd? Where did they all come from? From everywhere. From every village and town that had heard that Jesus was going. But also there were Jews that had come to town for the great festival from every country around where Jews might reside. And also those that heard about Jesus came out of the city also to meet him. John 12:12 says, "The great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem." Now, this is the Passover feast. A feast that maybe for some would be a once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to be able to come to Jerusalem to worship God. And so were thousands upon thousands of people that were gathering together that week for that celebration. John chapter 12, verse 17 also says that part of the crowd had been following Jesus from the resurrection of Lazarus, where that happened just a few days earlier. Matthew 21, verse 10 says that the whole city was stirred up. Can you imagine? Now understand that this feast is a yearly event, and the people would normally gather together waiting for the high priest to bring the Passover lamb from Bethlehem. It'd be a tremendous celebration, and as he entered the city from the south, the crowds would sing and throw down their cloaks and palm branches for him, and they would shout to the priest, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, while the intended yearly parade on the south side should have been taking place and may have been taking place, now comes Jesus arriving on the east side of the city from the Mount of Olives, and the crowds come and they go wild. This becomes a giant parade of people coming down this steep hill, and crowds come and they enter the city. Now, this is a steep hill. I was able to walk that path last May, and you're walking leaning somewhat backwards because the hill's so steep, or you may lose your balance and tumble down the hill head first. And now here comes Jesus. He enters as their Passover lamb. He enters as the high priest. He enters as the king of the Jews. And verse 9 says, "The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, they shouted, 'Hosanna, son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Hosanna means "save us now." What they're really saying is, "Son of David, save us now." The son of David, meaning from the lineage of David. The genealogy is found in Matthew chapter 1 as well as Luke chapter 3. Now, Joseph was the one that was from the line of David, the tribe of Judah. And when Mary became his wife, that made her part of that royal line too. We should all know that the real father of Jesus is God. And we believe that to be totally true. In John chapter 12, verse 13, it also says that they said, "Blessed is the King of Israel." They were waiting for this time to happen. They wanted Jesus to be their king. They thought that this miracle worker had the power to do away with Roman rule. But he wasn't coming to be their next political leader. He was coming to be their savior. That's why he came, to seek and to save the lost. Now, crowds draw crowds. Anywhere you go, you see a crowd and people want to go and see what's going on. And that's what happened here as well. And not everyone knew what or who all the fuss was about, but they went to join the crowd. Verse 10 says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Many of those following Jesus knew him as rabbi and teacher, a prophet, or a miracle worker. But not all really knew that he was the very Son of God. Even some of the disciples did not fully understand who he was, and they had been with him for 3 years. John 12:16 reminds us of that point. It says, at first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things that had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. They didn't fully get it until after the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and when he ascended to heaven and spoke to them, then they got it. Sometimes our hindsight is better than our foresight. We need to pray that our eyes just be open to truth and we be able to see. So here it is, the whole city is stirred up. Even the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the time, they're used to the crowds following them. But now they're following Jesus. In Luke, who also gives his record of this triumphal entry, in verse 39, says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Remember, they're saying, "Blessed is he, Son of David, King of the Jews." But Jesus replied in verse 40, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out." This was the day. This was when the message is coming. And the crowds kept coming and they continued to praise Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 19 says, so the Pharisees said to one another in disgust, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And this made them more angry and more intent on killing Jesus, which in 5 days would happen. John 12:17 says, and the crowds that were there continued spreading the word. Spreading the word. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And they came and they saw and they cheered and they shouted and they praised. Now, there's more to the story, and we're going to pick that up next week, where this crowd of joyful worshipers turns into a crowd that shouts, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The title of my sermon today is, "The King is Coming, Spread the Word." That's what happened then. That's what needs to happen now. Because there is another day coming where we can and need to apply that same message, "The King is coming, spread the word." 5 days after today's story, the Christ was crucified and died on a cross. 10 days after he rose from the dead and left behind an empty tomb. 7 days later. 50 days later, he ascended into heaven where he sits at the Father's right hand. The good news is he's not staying in heaven forever. He's coming back again one day, not on a donkey, not as a poor prophet, not as a traveling teacher, but as the King of Kings. And then he'll come riding a white horse. How do we know? Well, the book of Revelation tells us. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 19 and follow along as I read verses 11 through 16. It's about the rider on the white horse. The apostle John writes what he saw in verse 11. He says, I saw standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He'll rule them with an iron scepter. He treads on the winepress of fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is it that's going to be on the white horse on that day? None other than Jesus, our King, our Savior, our Lord. Now here's the question as we get ready to wrap up today. What crowd are you a part of today? That may be a funny question, since crowds are not allowed to assemble because of COVID-19 and this stay-at-home order. But why are you online with us today, or at church when we're able? Are you just a follower of the crowd, or are you here as an obedient follower of Christ? The crowd will be judged one day. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says, "Therefore God exalted him," who? Jesus, "to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It will happen. Followers and non-followers will, before Jesus, bow and acknowledge who he is. Some in worship, and others too late for worship. On that day, the crowd is going to be divided into two groups. Those who truly loved him and followed him will be placed on his right, and they're going to be allowed to enter into heaven. But those who were only faces in the crowd, those who were busy following themselves or following the word, they weren't devout believers, they will be placed on his left, and they will be condemned to hell for all eternity, a place where no one should ever want to go. So here's the question again. Is Jesus really your Lord and King? Is he the one that you're excited to hear about now and to see someday later and will shout out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? If you're not the devout follower, I invite you and urge you to make that decision and become one. Become a Christian. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and be part of God's family. If you're already a faithful follower, keep up the good work. There's days and no telling how long before he comes again. But we must be ready. The King is coming. Spread the word. Father God, to you be the glory for the word spoken today. Bless our hearts, and may we be a blessing to you and to others as we do what you've told us to do. Go spread the word. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings, one and all. We look forward to meeting next week, possibly on Zoom, to have a live service. Download it. Be ready. If you have questions, call the church, 445-2655. It will try to help you get that set up, and we'll send an email to let you know when to be ready. Blessings, my friends. Goodbye.